Hey, Vanya.
Hello, Mike Jensen.
How's it going over there?
Oh, it's going. You're looking nice and shorty.
It's all, yeah. We'll talk about it more. But yeah, I have no water. I have no water. And it's sort of a recurring theme, I feel, these days. Like, it's happened, like, twice in the last week. I think it's trying to come back on. Like, I can, like, hear something happening.
Oh, no.
But I did a nice big old workout, and here I sit. I'm not sweaty anymore. I'm just like dry and disgusting
now. Yeah, you don't look sweaty. Okay. Yeah.
My hair's a little weird, but yeah, it's. You know, I think about two things. I think about there was a book that the Daily Show put out that was called like America. They also did one called The Earth. I think it might have been in The Earth, and there's a passage in there where they talk about like showering. A slog or a privilege, depending on where you were born, you know,
right.
And I do think about that, like, because I also think about there's a West Wing where they're talking about the Clean Water Act, and I'm going to get this wrong, but it's something about, like, they're talking about how, like, the biggest catastrophes happen when the thing you just rely on goes away, and then someone is like, when did we pass the Clean Water Act? And he goes, I don't know, I turn on my faucet and the water comes out, and he's like, what did I just say? And so I think about those in this situation where I'm like, it's fine. I still have an apartment, and the water will be back at some point. I am going to see a show tonight, and I'd like to shower before
right.
I go to like a Broadway theater. So here's hoping the water comes back on at some point.
Worst case, you can go buy some baby wipes or something and just baby wipe your body.
I guess I'll make it work. I've definitely gotten like the big jug of water and done like the sort of spot cleanse.
Yeah.
It'll make it work. Anyways, What's going on in your world? How are the kids doing?
They're good. I just got back from working with my son's classroom. And when I say goodbye, it's like he wants to kind of, you know, be like, my mom came to help. Look.
Sure.
And so saying goodbye is always a production. And he really wanted to. We don't do this very often. I mean, like sometimes we'll like little peck on the lips, but mostly I just kiss him on the cheeks and, you know, like that.
Uh-huh.
And he really insisted he wanted to give me a kiss on the lips leaving. And I'm like, you know what? I guess it's okay, buddy. You know, let's not. Also, he's like, you know, kids are coughing in his face. I'm like, I'm okay.
Sure.
But he grabbed my head and he turns to this little girl and he's like, look, Carla. And he holds me. I'm like, wonderful. Thank you for that. Just gives me the biggest smack in my lips. And I'm like, okay, buddy. Like, what are you doing? Well, you don't have to prove anything. I am your mom.
Yeah.
And I love you. And that's probably more than we need to be doing. No, it's cute, though. He just, like, really manhandled me. I love him. I love that he loves me. And it's funny as hell that he wants to show it.
That's really funny. You know, I don't know if I've shared this before. It's such a dumb, weird little story. But I think about being really, really young, and I must have been like in first or second grade, and yeah, must have been something like that because my nearest sister in age is 5 years older than I am, and they used to have during lunch hour that like an older student would come and like sell milk, like they would like have like their little cart of like little milk, yeah, and they would like sell it to the kids. And when no one would buy milk, I would cry. Like, I would get so sad when no one was buying. Because it felt, like, personal to me. Like, why is no one buying my sister? My sister is selling the milk and no one is buying it. And I would, like, get really, really emotional. It's very, very weird. When you're that young and everything feels... I mean, you know, I don't know when it goes away. That everything feels, like, so important and, like, so immediate.
And that's why I try to be so patient with him, especially. But, like, and my daughter, too, who's 9. But, like... I don't know. I try to, he's unreasonable about so many things. And I'm just like, you want to just be like, Jesus Christ, knock it off. Like, stop. You are bumming everyone out. But you know, you can't do that.
right.
Another thing happened last week. So my daughter, she's 9. And it's about that age where you start being like, is what, you know. So anyways, long story short, she lost a tooth. And some little shitty kid, did I tell you this? Told
you
her that the tooth fairy wasn't real. But this is sure. And so I told her it was a collaboration, you know. It was not just,
No, okay. I don't know the right. I just know the beginning of it. Please
tell
the rest.
And so then she lost a tooth yesterday or something like that. And it was like, we were eating just carrots or something. And it was like a molar tooth. Real gross. Real nasty. But anywho, it came out, and then she was kind of like, I had to do something really special because, of course, she knew it was me putting it under her pillow. And I gave her like a little, like a tiny little special jewel box thing, like that would fit one ring. And I shoved in, and I gave her $10. That's right. I did it. Cause I felt bad. I felt bad because that kid was a dick. And honestly, it was the only cash I had. I don't keep cash around very often. So,
right. Yeah.
That also happened. But I just feel bad. Like, why are kids assholes? Like, this specific child is always a dick to my daughter and kind of like harasses her. And honestly, I don't think it's in a mean way. I honestly think she might be neurodivergent. And so it's like she's always like just saying whatever's in her head and touching mm-hmm. my daughter. My daughter doesn't want to be touched, all these things. It's such a fine line. Like, how do you, because she wants to be kind, but I'm also like, no one's allowed to touch you that if you don't right. want to be touched, you know, like, so I was like, I keep saying, go tell the duty or the person on. And she's like, well, they won't do anything. But that's sad when a kid feels like a leader, a parent won't, or a whatever, a person in charge is not going to do something. It's not worth it to even say, I don't know, should I go talk to the principal? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that on both sides, I think that it comes from also when you're very young that you just can feel so powerless. And I think that mm-hmm. even on the other kid's part, like maybe that feels powerful to them. But like they have this knowledge of like, the tooth fairy isn't real and I'm going to tell because I know,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Because probably that kid probably has a certain amount of like, it feels powerful to like have that knowledge.
I was going
to
say, I tell Amelia that like, you don't tell kids certain things because they're going to, I don't know. I feel like that person's parents should have told them to not tell kids.
Yeah. And who knows what their upbringing is and who knows how their parents treat them and who knows, you know, yeah, it's tough. Because then on the other hand, you have like Amelia who like, wants to have power over someone touching her and needs to have power over how she's being treated. And once again, when you're a kid, it's so easy to feel powerless and like you just don't have any control over anything.
Yeah, that's just not fair.
Yeah, it's tough. I think about, I'm trying to think of when I think it was like fourth grade maybe that the school newspaper interviewed, and it feels now sort of inappropriate that they ask like, do you believe in Santa Claus? And I said no, because I knew that there wasn't, you know, he didn't fly in his, you know, sleigh, he hadn't come down the chimney.
Spoiler alert for anyone listening.
I know, sorry if the children are listening. Santa Claus is a real person. I'm not saying that Santa Claus doesn't exist. It just doesn't work exactly the way that That's we're led true. To believe yeah, it, yeah. you know. But I didn't want my parents to know. And like the newspaper, like the school newspaper, like published, like, and Mike Jensen said, and I remember like scratching it out of the paper because I didn't want my parents to know that I, you know, yeah, it's so That's weird. Hilarious. Once again, like, it's just weird looking at being a kid. I also always think about, and I hope that she takes this as a joke. She doesn't listen to this podcast, so it's fine. But, our friend Katie, who would like send me like a cute picture of her daughter. And I think this was before she had her son as well, but she has like, her daughter's so happy. Like, she's like the happiest kid. We kind of joke that like she wakes up like Tracy Turnblad in Hairspray every morning. She's just like, like just like every day. Like, she just has the most positive attitude. And she'll tell these really nice stories. And then I always respond with like, just remember that one day she's going to call you a bitch and tell you that she hates you. You know, because you just, you know.
Oh, they will. Just,
Yeah. Just parenting, just the joys of parenting.
Funnily enough, that hasn't happened to me with my daughter yet, but Calvin, my son, has already told me that. He's like, I'm running away. I was like, okay, it was when it was like snowing outside this week in California, and he was yeah. like, I'm running away because I didn't let him have dessert or something. And I was like, it's really cold outside and I will miss you, but if you feel like you need to, there's the door. I swear to God, because I was like, I can't take any more of your bullshit.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, I've had kind of a weird, like, not much going on week. I went to Coney Island on Sunday. I kind of just woke up, and like Sundays I tend to go for a long walk, and I don't know. I'm even questioning my long walks lately, where I'm like, all right, is that the most productive use of your time, Mike? And I just sort of walked the boardwalk. I walked the entirety of the boardwalk, which is about 2.5 miles. Like, it's not, but I didn't know going into it. I was like, I wonder if I'm going to be on this boardwalk for hours and hours.
Right.
And it's funny because I knew that it wouldn't be, I knew that like it wouldn't be completely open. Nothing was open. Like, it was so fully closed. Like,
oh,
every
really?
Stand, every, yeah. Like, even like, this because I have my constant pee panic. Like, the restrooms were going to close at 4, and I was like, oh, I have to be out here by 4 o'clock because I can't be in a place where there's not a restroom for me to use. And it was really pretty. I went because when I was in England and went to Brighton, you know, we've talked about this. I love the ocean. Like, I love walking and I love the sound of the waves. Yeah. And I always remind myself, like, there's an ocean not that far away. Like, it's like an hour-long train ride. So it's not right next door, but it's not that far. Like, to take a train for an hour and be by the ocean and hear the waves. And it was fun. I'm trying to figure out how to bring this home. It's been weird. And I am almost nervous to talk about this, but, you know, I don't know if I think I've probably mentioned it. I don't have a job right now. I'm unemployed. I quit my job. I will need to go back to work in the somewhat, you know, near future.
Yeah.
But it's been weird because I think that I had this idea that, like, well, I'm not going to have that job anymore, so I'm going to get so much done. And I haven't, you know, and I've gotten some stuff done, but I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't know, inspiration. I'm just always looking for inspiration. You sent that really, really amazing, passage that we can talk more about. And I don't know where I'm going with this other than, I guess I thought there'd be this, like, now the creativity starts, and it hasn't.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Any comments?
Well, I do, because you're singing to the choir, lady. I'm in between my contracts with the job that I usually make my most money out of. So, and that takes most of my time. And so in my mind, I thought sort of similar, that I'm going to have more time for podcasting and, like, creating, writing, more time with my kids, like, more like real, you know, not missing any of those important moments that you miss when you're working, and not even just like not being there, but physically, but being there, you know, mentally, like, to be present. So I have done that in a way, but I also, the days seem so short, weirdly, because when you have your work, you just go and you try and shove everything else in the time where you're not working. And so it makes it feel like it's longer, but truthfully, it doesn't feel like it. And I've definitely been part of one of my diggings actually is a podcast that I'm listening to that's kind of helping me in terms of being present, but it's also like making me think, oh, I need to just kind of chill out and not try to get so much done. I know that sounds crazy, but, or like, be kind to myself, because there's literally only so many hours in a day. And I'm not saying anything about inspiration. I'm just saying I completely understand what you mean, where you're feeling that you're not doing enough. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just been weird. It's been, and I have done, you know, like, I went home and I came to see you and I went to England. Like, I'm enjoying the time that I have. I guess I just, I don't know how to kickstart myself. I keep thinking that, like, well, this will kickstart me, or this will send me on this path. And I don't know. I'm just I feel a little lost there. I'll just say the words.
That's okay. I do think everything that I've read in all of those books of whatever what makes a lot of people finish stuff or what have you is just setting the time and doing it. And even if you have to write the same thing over and over again, it's like that, it's creating that habit of the same time every day working on whatever it is that you want to work on. And then I think share it with people and edit and take some notes or whatever it is, you know, if it's not, maybe not a song, but, like, you know, like a story or something. You just have to make yourself, treat it like when you work out, because you're so good at working out, you know?
Yeah, it just needs to become a habit. And that's the thing with working out for me, is that it's just a habit. Like, I can't imagine my day without doing some kind of an exercise. And I guess it's just an idea of, like, getting that same mindset with being creative.
Mm-hmm. Did you read Big Magic? Or
I did, and I really, really liked it. I thought it was really, really, I found it really inspiring.
Elizabeth Gilbert talks a lot about about that as well.
And just absolutely. Maybe I should go back and read that again. It was a great book. Yeah, I don't know. Well, we can segue right into to dig in. What is this podcast that you're talking about?
It's called the 10% Happier Podcast. And there's also an app, and it's sort of about meditation and different things like that. And the lead guy is, I think his name is Dan Harris. He used to be a reporter or like a journalist. And the reason I like this podcast so much is he's kind of a cynic. He really like is saying what I think I am thinking. Like I'm not a blind follower, but I definitely know that I need to chill the fuck out. And I also have always found meditation hard because I found it hard to understand what it really was. It's not like being empty in your head. It's like, I mean, it is sort of, it's just complicated. So the thing that got me turned on to it is this, it was a 5-part series with the Dalai Lama, and each episode is like 20 to 30 minutes. I loved it. I thought it was so interesting. You can go back, you can go, I think anywhere you find your podcast, go find the 5-part series of the Dalai Lama and listen to those 1 through 5 in order. And I don't know, it made me feel better about, it made me feel more grounded and less like afraid. So I thought it was really powerful. I also have a couple honorable mentions.
Go for it.
And my daughter Amelia is taking an acting class, or she's doing a theater class or whatever, and she's supposed to be doing this monologue. And it's a poem from A Light in the Attic by Shel Silverstein. Yeah. And the poem is called, I don't remember what it's called, but it's about like the stars are dull, they need to be polished. And I, first of all, as a theater person and who has taken millions of hours of acting classes, it's kind of, I think in a way, it's a good thing and a bad thing to give a kid a poem to do as a monologue, but like you're not really teaching them to, so instead of like going, you being able to read like the whole play and kind of deriving your character and understanding all of its like wants and needs and from that, she has to make it up. So she and I work together because they're, no offense, but her teacher is like, you know, 18 years old and doesn't know shit. No, like seriously, no offense to her, but she's like, she doesn't even give them notes. I'm like, why am I paying for this class? I mean, what the actual hell? But it's fine. And then when I started working with her, my husband was with me and he's like, you know, Vanya, those are kind of concepts that you would maybe learn in like college. But I'm like, she can do it. She did. She absolutely did. So both my husband and I kind of like worked with her, gave her some notes in a very like non-pressure way. And she is amazing. She's doing so good. So I'm going to try. So she's created this character where she's like the manager of these idiots who didn't polish the stars, and the eagles and the starlings and gulls are really mad. And she's so cute. It's, I mean, there's things, obviously. This is her first real acting thing.
Yeah.
So that's cute. And then my other like honorable mention is we did, and I think Mike, you, I was thinking about you the whole time. I felt so awesome. On Sunday, we did a beach cleanup with the Surf Rider Foundation. And
oh, cool.
So you go, and I think you should look it up. Like, I'm sure they, I think, like, go to the Rockaways and, you know, you clean up, like, the tiny microplastics that you find or any, we found tons of stuff, like, big plastics. And they give you a bag, they give you gloves and, like, one of the pincher things. But it was just the best day ever. I felt, like, close to the earth. I felt like I was doing something good for the world. And I also got to see the ocean. It was amazing. I loved it so much. I want to do it like once a month at least.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love the idea. I'm gonna make a note.
I think you would. I you know, this, not that you need any of my advice, but, and I don't even know what this means, but I feel like I know how much you care about like the earth and plastics and things like that. I wish there was a job for you that didn't take too much of your time, but that you could go to that had something to do with that, because I know how passionate you are about that also. Sometimes I'm like, what could he do? You need to pay him $1 million a year to, I don't know. I just feel like I know how much you care. So,
yeah,
it's fun to care.
That's really cool. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. I think I just wrote this down that like, I can't think of where it came from, but like you'll drive yourself crazy trying to not care. Like I can't think of what I was watching where like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's really, really cool. I also have a smattering of things. I didn't really have a thing that I landed on this week, but yeah, I have a few things. First of all, you had talked about the fact that I think you and Adam were watching Shrinking on Apple TV.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I have thoughts. I have, you know, I'm laughing out loud for
how
sure.
How many have you watched?
I'm 3 episodes in. Okay. I've only watched the first 3.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I was a big Cougar Town fan, and it's the same people. And you can kind of tell they're kind of going for the Ted Lasso vibe too. Like, you, as it has a similar like energy to it. So I do love Krista Miller. I have to say, my favorite thing about this, about the entire series, Jessica Williams is so
perfect.
Like, she's so good. I don't know if it was scripted or, but she has a moment where they're talking about old televisions and she just says a zenith, and I laughed for like
seriously,
like just her delivery, and it took me forever to figure out that she was from The Daily Show. Like, why do I know her? And I loved her on The Daily Show. I think she's so good on that, and it's so fun seeing her like play this character. Oh, like play this, like, I love her in this. She's so good. I am really enjoying this series also overall.
She also had a series on HBO with her with her friend, and I can't think of it. Something from Queens, two girls from Queens,
yeah,
two black girls from Queens.
Something like that.
She's
two
so
dope
funny.
Queens, something like that.
I love her
she's
so much.
Yeah. She's incredible. On kind of the flip side, I will say that I watched a very interesting documentary. It's nominated for the Academy Award, called Navalny. That's on HBO. That's about Alexei Navalny, who is, I mean, kind of like still the biggest enemy of Putin. Like, he was trying to run for the president. He's currently in prison. I mean, it's a great documentary to watch to sort of like give it some context. He's a complicated person. He definitely at one point says that he doesn't worry about being in a parade with Nazis, like he thinks that's fine. So it's not like a perfect there are ups and downs to it, but it was a really, really complex, interesting look at this guy who was sort of like the biggest hope of getting the people to defeat Putin, who was, you know, once again, he's in prison and no one knows if he'll ever come out of prison because that's how things work there. So, but it was, I found it to be really fascinating. It's on HBO Max. I definitely think that it's worthwhile. It's like an hour and a half. It's not super long.
Cool.
And I was definitely moved by it. Also, in that same breath, as it was finishing up, I'd been kind of meaning to check this out. And it's a tough, I mean, I don't want to say it's tough because it makes it, but so Marc Maron has a new comedy special on HBO. And it's called From Bleak to Dark, I think. Yeah, and it's just like it sounds. It's very dark. It's a lot of him talking about the state of the world right now, and the death of his girlfriend partner Lynn Shelton, and kind of like the after effects of that. It's definitely worth watching. It's maybe a little too real for me right now, because I definitely watched a lot of it as though it was a drama and not a comedy special.
Yeah.
But it's really smart. It's really like what he does is very, very smart. So I just want to put that out there, that I do think that it's worth checking out. You know, have a cocktail and give it a watch, because it speaks to a lot of what we talk about. You know.
Oh yeah, I did watch something. There was something on because my husband works for Netflix. We get the preview content. I think it might have been very similar of his work, but it happened right when like the pandemic was on, and I don't know if it ever aired. So I wonder if it's similar, but he did talk about the passing of his past partner, and it was, and I remember thinking maybe we were like 6 months into the pandemic thinking, oof, I can't handle this. I cannot handle this. So I wonder if it's similar, but I'll check it out. Cause I love him. I think he's, I like his dark humor. I like cynics, you know, I like people who, people often say, oh, you're so positive. Well, the reason I'm positive is because there's a lot of like, there's this force of darkness in me that I am pushing against all the time.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I get that. Yeah. So there you go. What, anything in particular you could do without this week?
You know, I'm sure I could find a couple things. There's a, you know, as it sideways rained and blizzard here, we had another mini flood, which is fun. I think it's because the windows are going bad and the where we live. And I just think about New York all the time, like how there's like torrential downpour. And the truth, I was thinking, how can there be buildings that were built in like the 1900s, early 1900s, and they're not even leaking? But actually, they are leaking. Like every job I ever had, I think was the ceiling was leaking. So whatever, that's that. But man, home ownership can have its expenses. Another thing, I would say the most recent The Last of Us, it was tough for me. I wanted to enjoy some of those moments because it's a moment to enjoy. Like, I don't want to give anything away, but you know, it was a flashback episode and I was excited. I couldn't wait. But then I was just nervous the whole time. And after that episode was done, I was like, okay, that was not fun for me.
So, yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I watched it a little bit on my phone, a tiny bit. That like it was almost too much. That I was kind of like, I have to look at my phone real fast. I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it was really well done, but it was tough. It was a rough one.
I think it was well done, but I think it could have been somehow done a little bit better in terms of making me feel a little bit safer, so I could enjoy that. Because that moment, I want us to see those loving moments. You know, I think it's important, and I just could not, because I was like, I know what happens. You know, so that's all. If you're watching, I'm sure it'll get better, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it will too. I'm curious. I mean, I don't know. It's a mystery to me how this story is going to go.
Right, because it's also a mystery
how long it's going to go. Right, and how long it's going to go on for. This once again does feel like it could be like a 3-seasoner. Like, I don't think this needs to go on for, you know, 10 seasons.
I'd appreciate it if it didn't.
I'm assuming that he knows what he's doing. I'm assuming that he has it sort of mapped out as far as it's gonna go. I mean, I could just say that I could do without not having water.
Big one.
But I'm gonna I'm gonna say something else, and I don't know if maybe I shouldn't say it, but so did you watch the recent Saturday Night Live with Woody Harrelson hosting?
No, I didn't.
So it's weird. And I actually overall enjoyed it, because I don't mind it when Saturday Night Live isn't super funny. Like, I don't mind when it's kind of more like quirky. And that's sort of how this episode felt. And his opening monologue was super bizarre and not super funny. And I guess people were kind of up in arms about it. And I kind of was like, I don't know. I didn't really get it. But so then I started reading. And I guess I just didn't realize that, like, Woody Harrelson is kind of a problematic figure.
Oh, really? I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, like, I guess he doesn't think that masks are at all helpful. Like, he doesn't think that we should have had to wear them, and he doesn't think that anyone should have to get a vaccine, and he doesn't, because this is a free country, and he's an anarchist. And I guess mostly what I could do without is there's this idea that, like, America's a free country, so there shouldn't be any rules. And that's not how free countries work. No. Like, you still have to drive on a certain side of the street and stop at the stoplight. Like,
yeah.
And reasonable people can disagree on things. Like, I know people who think that no drugs should be illegal. That, like, if you want to do heroin, you should be able to go and buy heroin and do it. And I can have a conversation about that. Like, I can, like, reasonably talk to someone about that. But when someone doesn't think that there should be any, like, he's an anarchist. And I'm kind of like, you can go fuck yourself. Like, we live in a society. Like, there has to be a certain amount of structure, because we've decided to live in society and community. So I don't know.
I agree with you.
I guess what I could do without is just the idea that, like, this is a free country, so there shouldn't be rules. That's not how it works. No. So there you go. That's my big can do without. And I also think that we should be able to talk to each other. Yes. So I'm not trying to say, like, you shut your mouth and don't, but
shut your mouth.
I don't know how to have a conversation if someone's basic premise is, like, there just shouldn't be any rules. Like, I don't know how to have that conversation.
Yeah. So. I'm with you 100% on that. I feel like it's ridiculous. Well, then you go somewhere else. Go to an island.
Yes, go find your island and do whatever you want there. Did you get to watch the SAG Awards this last week?
I did get to watch the SAG Awards. I watched them live on YouTube, on Netflix's YouTube channel.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I also watched it live on the YouTube. I assumed that it would then be on Netflix, and I guess starting next year it's going to be.
Exactly. They're working on their live format. In fact, I get to go to it's actually a screening. I think the actual taping is happening in, I don't know, Atlanta somewhere, but Chris Rock is doing a live screening. They're doing a test run, and I get to go to it. But yes, Netflix is starting to do live TV.
Interesting.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'll be. So anyone that didn't get to watch it, you can still watch it on YouTube. Like, if you go to YouTube and just put in SAG Awards, like, it's there. Like, it's start to finish, and you can fast forward. It was interesting because they didn't have commercials, but they had commercial breaks where they kind of, like, showed clips from old ceremonies. Will say, I did have that thing of, like, I kind of want to go to the bathroom, but I didn't know, like, I didn't know if I could, like, it was sort of a weird experience. But I overall did enjoy it. I, you know, we don't have to, like, go point by point, but I thought a few things were interesting. Like, you know, there was swearing.
Yeah.
But some of it, I think, was... I couldn't figure out, like, if some of it was censored or if people were, like, sort of censoring themselves. And the opening had, like... It was sort of a Banshees of Inisherin bit with the only murders in the building.
Oh, yes.
And then they were kind of using, like, the feckin' a lot. And I, oh, yeah. And then I... So I was like, is that not swearing? I don't know. It was strange. I also thought it was kind of funny because the two... the first two presenters were Zendaya and Paul Mescal, and he's so cute. But I thought it was funny as they were going up that I think that he meant to, like, help her up the stairs as, like, a gentlemanly thing, but he kind of, like, tried to grab her arm instead. And oh, I think sometimes we forget, like, no, you give your arm. Like, you present your arm to someone, and then they can take it.
You're not helping the whole idea, a toddler.
Like, yeah. It was kind of funny. And then I have to say, like, first award of the night, Jessica Chastain won. And wow. I just last week had talked about how great she is in that show. I did not in a million, and clearly she did not in a million years think that she had a chance to win either. But I was so happy for her, and her speech was so moving and, like, so beautiful.
When I was in college, Philip Seymour Hoffman came to speak to my class, and he told us all of his frustrating stories about auditions, and he encouraged us to keep going even when we felt like no one was watching us. And at the end of the talk, he said, "I look forward to working with each of you." And it really shocked me because it was like he brought it into being. And a few years later, it came true, and I had the opportunity to do a play with him. And I'm telling this story now because it reminds me of how powerful our mind is and that we are what our thoughts create. So I just want to tell everyone who might be struggling at home, to all the actors that I get to meet, keep going. You're one job away. I look forward to working with you. I'll see you on set. And I love you. Thank you so much.
It was really moving. Like, I thought it was such a beautiful, beautiful speech. And then Jenny Ortega and Aubrey Plaza did their little bit together where they were like,
I don't know why they paired us up together.
Yeah. I know, we have nothing in common.
We should find the people who did this.
And curse their families and watch as misfortune follows their bloodline for the next seven generations.
Okay, I see it now.
Very funny. I thought that was great. What else? Anything in particular that, like, stood out to you?
Well, you know one thing, and this is maybe, like, my own hang up, but I sometimes get a little sad watching specifically the SAG Awards because I have my SAG card. And I didn't have people rally around me trying to help me get work. And how do I put this? Okay, so not to make this about me, but, like, everybody, when they accepted the award, a lot of people were like, I love this community. I'm so grateful for this community. I'm grateful for my insurance. I'm grateful for the way that I was taken care of. The day I got my SAG award, I cried. I went to the building in New York City on the millionth floor, picked it up. And I remember crying, and I was so proud to call my parents and tell them finally, because my parents are union people, both of them, teachers union and pipefitters union. And my dad was beyond happy, but it didn't pan out for me, which is fine. But I sometimes think it's not like doesn't work like a true union because it's so objective. And I will say that I will put that to bed. There's a couple other issues that I have because I am sort of a mystery ethnicity. Sometimes this is very honest, I get bitter. I don't look black. I'm not indigenous. I'm not Indian. I'm Middle Eastern, but I have, like, a very broad look. So I think some people might think I'm whitish. No one would ever cast me as the white girl, you know, so I have a bit, I'm like, well, where's my representation? I don't know. Maybe I'm just a brat crying in the corner, but truthfully, I didn't get any work. Like, I almost got a job on Blue Bloods, but they had changed the character to Indian, and I don't look Indian. So anywho, the point is, SAG is great, and I'm happy for all those actors, but I'm jealous too.
Yeah, you know, listen, I have to watch it with a very specific attitude, because once upon a time I would watch these award ceremonies, and listen, I still picture myself going, and I still picture myself like, what if I won, and what would my speech be like?
Yeah.
Because as one gets older, and I'm not working towards that, like that's not a goal that I'm working towards, that I do have to kind of put that aside and be like, well, I'm just going to watch this for the inspiration of what it is, which are these, listen, no one makes it as an actor. And by that, I mean, like, it's so hard to make any kind of a living as an actor.
Even the people who you believe are famous still
100%. So, like,
to find a way to make money.
Percentage, right. The ones that, like, actually make enough to only act is like the even smaller percentage of that. And then the ones that get nominated for a SAG award, like the number game is so ridiculous that I do have to kind of watch it as like, I'm just watching it as a celebration of these people.
Which I love. Yeah, I mean, truly love that. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer about it.
And looking at it as entertainment, like I really loved Emily Blunt and Jason Bateman's bit that they did.
Hello, Jason.
Hello, Emily. And scene.
Great. Loved it.
Great.
So good.
What we've done there was an example of acting in its most basic form.
Beautifully
gang.
Simple four-word scene to That's greet it. Each other as if for the first Tight. Time tonight yeah. when we've really been hanging out all evening.
Yeah, not joking. We've been talking, laughing, yeah. catching up backstage for at least a half hour.
Good half hour. Yeah. Too long,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But through our training and our talent, we were able to seem utterly surprised, sort of warmed it's at talent. Seeing each other yeah. for the first time just now.
Five actors that did slightly better work in yes. slightly longer scenes are the nominees.
God.
Four female actor in a supporting role. Playback.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. And like, you know, it's fun to see someone like Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, she's been in the business for so long.
Yeah.
And to have her get up there and talk about like her first job that she got fired from, you know, and that, but if she hadn't been fired from that, she wouldn't have been able to do Halloween and what a different world it would have been for her. And,
yeah.
and you know, like a Kihi Kwan to like get up there and once again to have left the business. And I have such, yeah. I don't have mixed feelings about him, but even, you know, he talks about how even after getting Everything Everywhere All at Once, he still couldn't get another job after that. And that's just acting. Like, yeah. that's just like being yeah. in the business. Like, it doesn't matter until you're a Meryl Streep or a Kate, like, you're gonna not work. Mm-hmm. Like, you're gonna work and then you're gonna not work and mm-hmm. then you're hopefully gonna work. And it's just, and if you can sustain it, I've always heard this, that if you can sustain a career for 7 years, that's considered wildly successful.
Yeah, for sure.
So you do kind of have to like figure out what you're gonna do 7 years in. I don't know. And you know, Andrew Garfield giving the Lifetime Achievement Award to Sally Field.
I did love
his thing of...
That was my
like,
favorite.
Where he says, I mean, she... Oh, God. She's so... I loved his thing of like, she's my favorite. She's your mom's favorite. She's like... Yeah. She, like, who doesn't love Sally Field? And like, her speech was so great. I thought she was so wonderful. And even like a Jennifer Coolidge as someone who's been around
for
she
cried.
So long.
She cried this
and,
morning.
And yeah. And like the emotion of her, like really, I feel like it's sinking in of having this amazing run this year. Jenny Slate and James Marsden thing was so bizarre where she was like kind of faux mad at him.
Hey, James.
Hi.
About time you showed up, hun.
What do you mean? We got here at the same time.
Okay, well, all I'm saying by insulting you right away in front of all of these people is that an ensemble cast requires a team player, so I'm gonna need you to bring your A game.
Literally walked in the exact same time as you.
Okay, a little bit about me. I don't need excuses. I just need results.
Okay, I hear you. Should I toss to the nominees?
Okay, honey, I'm really not here to tell you how to do your job, James.
Right.
This is bizarre.
Right. I'm so sorry.
And you know what? I'm super kind and I accept your apology.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
I thought it was really funny. And her thing of like, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. And I don't know. Oh, I do also want to say that this is how you do an in memoriam. Like, where there wasn't a performer. It was, you know, Irene Cara who has passed this year. And it was her singing one of her signature songs. And like...
They
clips
did it right.
of people like they did it right. Like, this is how it's supposed to be done, that it felt so respectful and like we really were like paying attention to these people. And you know, I don't know how to like watch Tar and not just think that Cate Blanchett gives like a performance of a lifetime, but I love Michelle Yeoh too, and her getting to get up on stage and clearly like feeling this love after mm-hmm. once again like such a lengthy career. I thought that was really beautiful, though her dress made me insane.
I know,
like her dress was, I was like, oh my gosh, it was like scratching
issues.
The microphone. Oh, it was so upsetting to me.
I know.
Yeah.
I felt the same way. I was like, oh my God, just as like, because you and I both dabble in sound engineering and we're both like, oh, I was like, Adam, oh God, oh God, oh God. But I was still very happy.
I think it's
happy
also like the producer director in me where like I just, everyone wants to give the best speech, and I get it. Like, I feel like at this point we have this idea that, like, a speech should be, like, epic, and, like, you should move everybody, and it should be, like, it should be a statement. But there were just moments where I'm like, your speech is over, you should go. Like, you're done. Like, done. It's a wrap. Like, let's get going. Anyways, and, you know, Jessica Chastain presenting to Brendan Fraser, and I loved his thing of talking about a character that was on a raft of regrets, but on a sea of hope. And I thought that was really powerful. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing to think about.
When he was, I think it was when Sally Field was being introduced. I loved it. So he said, a life devoted to art, love, and service. So many people feel it's the only place that they can truly be free in art. And I was just like, I love that. I'm not sure exactly where that was, but I had written that down. I was like, that's what I want. I want a life devoted to art, love, and service. And it is true. Why is art the place that you feel free?
Well, and I think about this as I watch an award ceremony like this, because I refuse to believe that getting up on that stage and getting the trophy is what makes you successful.
100%.
Like, that's not what makes a life. That's not. I think about Fiona Apple often when she got up on stage and said, like, hey, everyone watching, just so you know, like, this is bullshit. And everyone, like, booed and got really mad at her. And I think what her point was, like, this isn't the point. Like, getting up on a stage and getting an award is not the point. Yeah. Like, I do think art is important no matter what you do in your life, but that can mean singing karaoke. Like, that for can sure. mean writing in your journal. That could, like, art is any kind of creation that you decide you want it to be. And so while I'd love to get up on stage and get an award, I just think that if we could, like, redo our brains to the idea that, like, simply doing the thing, to quote Ariana DeBose, doing the thing, like, that's the thing. Like, doing the thing is the thing. Like, just to have made something that presents yourself, even if it's not to the world, even if it's just that you created a thing. I don't know. I think that that's more important. And I try, I'm acting like I do it perfectly, and I don't, because I'm just like you in that respect, Vanya, where I sometimes watch and I'm like, no fair.
No
you
fair. Know? Yeah.
But I try to tell myself, like, that, you know, that's not the point. That's not what success is. Like,
and you're right.
Almost no one gets to get up on that stage. So, yeah. And I'm going to bring it home. I will say that Mark Wahlberg says women are talking instead of just women talking. And I'm kind of like, maybe you want to go over the names of the films before you say, I don't know. That seemed like a
kind of
a weird.
I thought he said something like women on top. And I'm like, what are you, what?
Yeah, I don't know. I also, it's fine. And then Everything Everywhere All at Once wins. And I need to watch that film again because I really liked it, but I feel like maybe it just didn't quite click with me. You haven't watched that one yet, have you?
I still haven't seen it because I don't want to get Showtime again, but I had canceled it. I thought maybe you could buy it, but maybe, I'm not sure. We'll see. But what did the guy, the older gentleman who's 94 in it, he was like, I don't even still get it.
He's like, did you get it? You should watch it a second or a third time.
Yeah
it ended up kind of being a tribute to James Hong, and like, that was, I did look him up, like, his first credit is in 1954. Like,
that is crazy.
Sort of insane how long he's been around for. I once again did have the moment of like, wrap it up, this is going on too long. And I guess maybe I need to let go of that because it wasn't on network TV, like, it's just streaming. They theoretically could talk for as long as they wanted to. I just want a tight show, you know me.
I think I felt those moments too, especially with him, but I was also like, he's 94. My grandma died at 92. I'm like, let this man talk. Let him say whatever the hell he wants to say. And it was funny because you could see the people around him, like Michelle, being like the polite laugh, and then actually like being cracked up by him, and it was cute.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious that she felt the need. She was like, I'm gonna translate. I'm like, he speaks English. He can actually translate for himself. That was a little. It's a little silly there, but it was good. I thought it was a fun show overall, and I was moved by it. And so there you go. I'm looking forward to the Oscars. I will say that they had Jeff Bridges present Best Actress, and that would have theoretically in past years been Will Smith. And they haven't said what's going to happen at the Oscars this year. It's not going to be Will Smith presenting because he's not allowed to go for another 9 years. But I'll be curious to see how they. I kind of want it to be Chris Rock. Is that crazy?
No, I think that'd be amazing. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I think if he agreed to it, if he thought that, I think that would be. I'm putting that out in the universe right now. I think it'd be great. You need to pick up your kids pretty soon. So do you have anything random for us to wrap this up?
Well, I'm going to bring it home with that quote that I sent you. And it's by, is that okay?
Yes, please do.
It's by W.H. Murray. And the book is called The Scottish Himalayan Expedition. And it says, The Magic of Making a Start. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth. the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would not otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance which no man would have dreamed would come his way. I have learned a deep respect for one of Goethe's couplets. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, magic, and power in it. Begin it now.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on a loop and I just listen to great. It over yeah. and over and over again.
But it is
yeah,
something you pretty... have to kind of like listen, like understand.
Yeah,
but it's
for sure.
It's like that weird thing about faith, like really trusting. When you lose faith in God, then how can you trust in this? You know what I mean? This is like something I grapple with. And listen, I'm okay. Everyone, I'm okay. but I'm just honest. I'm being honest with my internal struggle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is why you should probably go last on these, because you always have something really great. And then I'm just gonna bring up the fact that I got a thing in the mail from the DMV.
Oh, no.
Saying that our records show that your driver's license, they still haven't gotten my vision thing.
Oh, Jesus.
So the lady at the eye place that said that she would submit it didn't do it. And I think that I brought this up, that that vision place is now just not a vision place anymore. So I don't even know how to get my records. So I guess thanks to the DMV. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. I think you actually can do it online now. So I'm going to, but I just think it's hilarious. Thanks for letting me know that I still don't have a complete driver's license.
That's
but
true.
I guess that's what I'm going to work on.
Oh
so,
my God.
After I see if I have any water that I can shower with. So, everyone, thanks for listening.
Love
and
you.
Thanks for talking to me, Vanya. That was really, really, I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And then I think we did pretty well. So
we had stuff to say.
Yeah, we do. All right. I love you so much.
I love you too. Bye guys.
Thank you. Bye. Later.
Later, skater.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. Sorry, I have a note here that just says Orlando Bloom is hot and knows it.